Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, we have been going through the beginning, the journey of the Psalms. And this has been amazing, just seeing how this book of Psalms as a whole tells us an amazing story, not just about the story of King David, not just the story of Israel as a nation. Indeed, the most important thing is it tells us the story of Jesus, the King of Kings. And these are stories that are told from within, stories that are told from without, from within, from the heart, where things are happening on the outside and the stories are told from the inside, what the heart is experiencing. These are songs that are sung in times of suffering, in those times when you're longing to see the promises of God come to fruition. You're waiting for the promises of God, waiting for the King to come. And then you see the songs of joy of those times when God's promises you see fulfilled in your life, and you see the joy and the praise of seeing those promises come true. These psalms are very much not just David's songs, not just Israel's songs. These are our songs, songs that we can sing with David and with the people of Israel in our journey. They help us in our times of suffering. You know, when you're going through it, you can use those psalms and sing those songs with yourself, and they help you to sing in those times of suffering, sing about those things in the right way. And then in the times of joy, they give us these words, these amazing words to sing praise, to glorify our Heavenly Father, right? And it's amazing. Within this massive collection of songs, there's a story woven in and out of the songs. One, a purple thread of royalty depicting a coming king, one who is greater than David, perfect. And along with that purple thread of royalty is a crimson thread of a coming redeemer who has come to save us from our sins. Well, our journey through the Psalms, as we're getting ready to study this, we're going to take a little bit of a unique way of studying it. Usually, if we study like letters of the New Testament or even the Gospels, we like to go verse by verse throughout the whole book to really understand the flow of the passage of Scripture that we're going through. If we did that with the Psalms, it would take a very, very long time, and so we're not going to do that. Our goal is to go through each of the five books that are within the book of Psalms, and each book has its own unique theme that is represented in that book. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the five books, and we're going to look at the theme of the book, and then pull out maybe like five or six of those Psalms that represent, that we can see that theme coming out of those Psalms. So that's kind of our goal for the next couple of months or so. And of course, while we're going through the individual themes of the book, we're also going to take a look at those two purple and crimson threads that are also interweaving themselves within the Psalms as well. So be sure to take some time, man, as we're going through these Psalms, like if we're going through like a couple of different passages, follow along in your personal study and see if you can find those themes in the other passages, in the other Psalms that we may not go through, and see for yourself how God helps us to see those threads in those different Psalms, all right? Well, we're going to start our journey with the first two Psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. These two Psalms are basically an introduction to the whole book of Psalms, right? Psalm 1 is basically the guidebook to understanding and to understand how to use Psalms, these group of songs, as your guide to life. It shows us the path of life to take as you follow after God, right? Psalm 2 basically displays the theme interwoven throughout the whole context of Psalm, pointing us to the King of Kings. Psalm 2 reminds us basically to see our world, and this is both in the personal sense, your both individual world, and as a larger sense, the world in which you live as a whole. see your world through the lens of someone who is waiting for his coming king, waiting for the king's arrival. And these two psalms, Psalm 1 and 2, are going to help us to see these kinds of things as we study God's word, all right? There will be a brief pause between Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 because next week is a very important day. It's Mother's Day. And so we want to take some time to honor our mothers next week. So we're going to do Psalm 1, and then we're going to honor our mothers, and then Psalm 2 is kind of how we're going to look at it. And then we'll jump into the rest of the Psalms, all right? But before we do that, let's go ahead and jump into our passage for today. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Let's read through the whole Psalm, and then we'll get into learning more about what this is talking about. Psalm 1, verse 1. Says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This passage talks a lot about two paths that we have the choice to make. It reminds me a lot of last week, my wife Bethany and my youngest son Asher and I, we went for a hike up in the mountains near our city. And you know what's interesting? As we're hiking, we're going through these all different kinds of paths, wide paths, narrow paths, and everything. And quite a few times, actually, we would come to a crossroad in the path, signs that point us to different directions. And we were constantly having to check, okay, where does this go? Is this the way we want to go? Or is the other way we want to go? Sometimes there were two or three paths. Sometimes there were just those two paths. And so we were always constantly having to check, which is the path that's going to take me home? Because that's where we really wanted to go. Especially by the end of that thing. Oh man, we were tired. We're like, just take me home. I don't care what it takes. Just take me home. We were exhausted. And it was great. We had a good time. But we were constantly making sure that we were on the right path. And this is basically Psalm 1 is our guidebook that tells us, hey, this is the path you need to be on. Check it constantly to make sure you're on the right path. Because in this Psalm 1, it tells us about two paths. One path leads to destruction. The other path leads to life and to blessing. So how do you know which path you're on? How do you know which way you should be going? Well, that's what our guidebook, Psalm 1, is here to help us see. Verse 1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The word blessed, it's an amazing word, isn't it? It's kind of like the word itself is like, it's basically like, oh, how blessed is that man. Oh, happy, happy, happy is the man. And he's talking about, oh, how wonderful and great it is to be that guy. It's basically what he's talking about right here, right? But what makes him so happy? What makes him so blessed? What makes it so great and wonderful to be where he's at? Where does this blessing come from? The first thing we see is that is the path that he is not on. Sometimes the path you don't take is just as important as the path you do take. You know what I mean? So we've all had paths that we've gone through in our lives and say, man, I wish I would not have taken that path. That path, I took that path and all it did was give me just sorrow and trouble. I deeply regret having gone on that path, right? This psalmist is saying, happy is the man, blessed is the man who by God's grace has been rescued from the path of destruction. Blessed is that man, how good it is to be that guy who is no longer on that path. He's off of the path. So what is this path that this man was able to turn away from, to not go down? In the path, we see three kinds of people that are mentioned on the path, but it's probably better to think of it as one person and different stages of his journey down that path. I think is a better way to understand this passage. And the first person that we come into in this passage, the first verse says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." He describes the person as an ungodly person. What is an ungodly person? What is it describing? Well, simply, if you look at the word godly, it's ungodly. So the person is basically somebody who lives as if the presence of God were not a part of his life. He lives his life, somebody who wants to live free from God's presence and reign in his life. One of the ways he does that is simply ignoring God, ignoring his presence, and ignoring his reign in his life. He doesn't think about him. He doesn't live as if he exists. His way of thinking, his plans, in a word, the Bible describes it as his counsel, is empty of God. There's no God in his life, his thoughts, or his actions. He's living the way he wants to live, and he's pursuing the things that he wants to enjoy. He's walking down that path. He's basically going with the flow, following the things he wants to go to pursue. Well, what happens if we get on this path with this person? Let's follow him down this path and see where it takes us. As we further go down this path, we come up to the second person on the path. This person is described as a sinner, right? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. When you think about the word sinner, we're probably thinking, well, wait a second, we're all sinners, right? Brother Pastor Steve, we're all sinners, right? I mean, the Bible says we're all sinners, right? And it's true, we've all failed to completely, to perfectly obey the commands of God. We've all rebelled against God. But the picture that this word is talking a little bit more about is a person who is actively sinning, actively pursuing his life of sin. Someone who actively chooses to live against the ways of God. And I think that's a great way to describe it. Somebody who lives actively against God's ways. He's not ignorant of what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and he wants to keep going down this path. He wants it to lead him further and further away from God's presence and rule in his life. He's actively and intentionally going down the path. Let's look for a second at the position. It says that he's standing in the way of sinners. He's standing, right? What does that mean to stand in his path? Well, you know how we've learned earlier about how we stand against Satan? We're choosing to stand against Satan and his attacks against us. Well, basically, this man is choosing to stand against God. His feet are firmly planted in the path of sin, and he doesn't want to leave it. He's enjoying pursuing his own lust, and he doesn't want to get off that path that he's on. He wants to keep going down it. Let's go down with him a little bit more to see where that leads. And we come to the third man on this path, and this third man is described as a scornful person. Nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. What does it mean to be a scornful person? How does that describe this person on this path? A scornful person, at this point, this guy is so set on his path that he starts to scorn those who are not on the path with him. He starts to scorn those who are on that other path, if you know what I'm saying. He starts to scorn them. To him, God and the people who follow him seem to be the foolish ones. They're the ones that are kind of lost their mind. And he looks down on them in his heart. And that looking down on them flows out into his words and into his actions. And it's interesting, If you notice how the further you go down the path, the further entrenched you become into that path. Now he's sitting, he's settled in, he's dug in, and he has no plans of leaving. He's going to be dragged out of there if anybody wants to pull him out of there. And basically, that's a description of the further digression of following down this path. It starts this path. This path starts with living simply without God in your life. Living in an ungodly or simply living in ignorance. Choosing to live a life in ignorance of God's presence or reign in your life. And what follows just naturally comes down that path. That's what we see. What follows on the path are simply the natural effects of being on that path. Unfortunately, if you continue to be down this path, if you read the end of the psalm, verses 4 through 6, you see the tragic end that waits for you at the end of this path. Verse 4 says, the ungodly, notice it says ungodly. This is the start of the path. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly one, in choosing to live life without God, in choosing to live life in pursuit of his own pleasures, discovers, or may not discover a problem, but there is a problem that happens because of that, that he may or may not be aware of. And that problem is this. In pursuing his own pleasures, his own pleasures will never be able to satisfy him. It only forces him to go from one pleasure to the next, constantly trying to look for the next thing that will please and satisfy him. And he's blown around like the wind, like the chaff in the wind, just constantly going wherever the wind drives him, like a leaf blowing in the wind. Verse 5 continues the story of the end. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You see, as he goes down this path and he's choosing to stand against God, as he's firmly putting his feet on the ground, I'm standing against God. And then as he continues down the path, he scorns those that are on the other path. He will come to a point in his life when his days are over. And in that moment, he will discover a horrible, horrible truth. He will discover that that very person that he was standing against, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is actually his judge. And when the moment comes of his for his judgment, he will discover that he cannot stand against him. In that moment, he will discover that it's too late. Now, even if he wants to be with those who are on the other path, those he scorned, he will no longer be able to. Ultimately, he discovers the awful truth about his path, and that's this. It leads to destruction. Verse 6 says this, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way, the path of the ungodly shall perish. The path of the ungodly shall perish. Praise God, though. This does not have to be your path. It doesn't have to be your path. Because of Jesus, you have been given another path to walk down. When you put your faith in Jesus, he unlocks the gate to another path, and he lets you walk down this path. It's the path to life. Christian, as one who is in Christ, praise God, your path should be different. There's no reason for you to go back to the old path. There's nothing there for you, right? You have an amazing opportunity to walk down this path, where as you're going down this path, the way to describe this path is blessed. Happy, oh, how good and wonderful it is to be someone who gets to go down this path. That's the path that Jesus has prepared for you. So what is it about this path? How do we walk on this path? We find the answer in verse 2. Verse 1 described the path that leads to destruction. Verse 2 describes the path that leads to light, to life, and to happiness. Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night." The first step on the path is this. Instead of looking for happiness in what you desire, instead, find your happiness and delight in what God desires for you. This is the key. Find your delight in your Father by enjoying Him in His Word. Find your joy in the things that He tells you. And instead of letting your life be empty of God, let your life be full of God through His Word. Let His words fill your heart, is what He's talking about here. Let it fill your heart day and night. This is so cool. I love the way the Japanese Bible translate the word meditate. On His law, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. That word meditate, the word that is used is the word, I'm going to say it in Japanese, it probably won't make sense to you, and that's okay. It's the word kuchizusamu. What does that mean? Simply put, it means to hum, to sing to yourself. You know how you get those songs that sometimes just stick in your head? We call it an earworm, right? The earworm song where you're singing a song and it's just constantly in your head and you're singing it and you just find yourself naturally just like out of nowhere you're singing it and over and over and over again. Sometimes, like if it's just like a really, really dumb song, it gets really annoying very fast. But what this is saying is let the words of God become a song that consistently and constantly you find yourself humming, you find yourself singing day and night. It's a song that you continue to sing as you sing to yourself the truths and the words of God. Find your delight in God's word as he teaches you, and then hum those words, hum those truths to yourself throughout the day. Isn't that cool? Oh, I love that. That's so amazing. And so these are the songs. They are called the psalms, the songs, right? The songs that people sing. I think that's what he's kind of pointing to. Sing these songs throughout the day in your life. Sing them to yourself. What happens when we do that? What happens when you delight in God and his word and you meditate, you sing the songs of his word throughout your day, in and out of your life. We find the effect of that in verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's something very important you have to understand about how verse 2 and verse 3 are connected. Verse 3 tells us the effect of delighting in God and singing his truths in our hearts. In other words, do verse 2 and verse 3 will happen. That's basically what he's talking about. Verse 3 is the effect of verse 2. And to describe that effect, the psalmist here uses the picture of a tree to describe what happens when we delight in God through his word and meditate, hum his truths in our heart. As we continue on this new path, delighting in God's word, meditating on them as we hum them in our hearts, we find that instead of standing against God, as it were, as in the other path, as the ungodly path, now instead of standing against God, we are standing in God as a firmly planted tree. What is it about a tree that makes it so strong? What is it that makes a tree stand strong? Well, it's the roots, right? The roots, as the roots are embedded and as they go deep into the ground, getting the nourishment that it needs from the water of life that's flowing next to it. These roots are something that you usually don't see. You don't look at a tree and say, "Wow, man, that tree's got some nice roots." We typically don't say that, right? We look at the leaves, we look at the flowers, the tree, that aspect of it. But it's very rare that we say, "Wow, that has some amazing roots." Why? Because we can't see it, right? This is a very interesting aspect. Because they are hidden in the ground, out of sight from everybody else, the roots, the stronger they grow, the more they grow. It's something that is not seen, and it's also the way it is in our life. See, this is talking about us as we are spending time in God's Word in a place where maybe nobody sees us enjoying our time with our Father, delighting in Him, in His Word, singing those songs to ourselves. Hey, you're singing the words of Scripture there. Hey, that's great, man. I can tell you're just like growing in the Lord. We don't typically say that. It's not part of our life that people see, and yet it is the very source of everything else that that everybody sees. The strength of the tree, the fruit that it produces, the leaves and the flowers that comes from it, comes from the roots that are firmly growing in the tree, getting its nourishment from the water of life. And it's that time you spend with your Father that nobody sees that produces the effects. And that's what this is talking about. Delight in your Father. Delight in His words, in His rule, and in His reign, and in His presence in your life. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Gain the nourishment from it. And as you do, you'll see the effect of it. One of those effects you see is the strength to stand firmly, strongly planted. Even in storms, it stands strong. Even when life is hard, you see the firmly planted roots that keep it standing strong. And when the time is right, you will also start to see fruit being produced in your life. What's interesting about fruit is fruit isn't necessarily for the tree itself, right? The tree doesn't grab fruit and eat itself or eat the fruit, right? That's not what fruit is designed for. Fruit is designed for others. Fruit to help and to serve others. Fruit to sustain others in their journey. This is what this fruit produces us for. Fruit that is produced in our lives. All of the different fruits of the Spirit are there for us to serve and to sustain and to help others who are walking on this path along with us. Fruit is there to help and to serve. And that fruit starts getting produced during your life as your roots are embedded into the water of life. You see that as your roots are continually getting nourishment in the river of life, your leaf doesn't wither. Life flows through you because the river never dries. If the river dried up, that would be one thing, but the river never dries, and so neither does that life flow through you. Constantly, you have life within you, and whatever you do prospers. Oh, this is so cool. As you continue to produce fruit, to serve and to help, one day, you too will stand before your King. This time you will not receive condemnation as the ungodly, as the sinner, as the scorner. This time you receive the rewards that He gives you as you faithfully abide in Him and see the effects of the fruit being poured out of your life because you have found your nourishment, your strength by being rooted in Him through His Word. Today, you are standing at a crossroads. One path leads to destruction. The other path leads to blessing and life. You choose today which path you are going to be walking on throughout the day. The question is, which path will you choose? You get to pick it. Is it an ungodly life, a life without the presence or the rule of God? Or is it a life that is finding desire in God, enjoying the presence and the rule of life that He discovers through His Word and His time He spends with Him in His Word? And which path are you going to take? You get to choose that. If you haven't trusted Christ yet, your first step is to put your faith in Jesus. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's nobody else who can give you what Jesus can. He takes you out of the old path and sets your feet on the new path to begin your journey with Him. All of the things that happen are because you put your faith in Jesus. Jesus transplants your life onto the new path and say, man, you're going to love it. Walk with me as we go through this life. Get off the old path. Let him set your feet on the new path. And believer, if you are in Christ, if you are a child of God, can I tell you, there's no reason to go back on that old path. There's nothing that old path can give you that can give you the delight that your Father gives you as you abide in him. Let the desire and the joy, let your delight in your heavenly Father overcome the distractions of the old path. Delight in him and hum his truths of life in your heart. And then see how he plants you firmly, how he produces fruit in you, and how he prospers you because you do one thing, delight in him. Delight in him. Sing his words in your heart. And then see how he uses that to produce so much joy and blessedness in your life. Happy is the man who doesn't go down the old path, but lives his life in the light, in the path of light and life. All right, that's a great thought. I tell you what, I hope that helps you today as you study your as you spend time with your Father throughout the week. Man, enjoy being with your Father. Those roots are incredibly important in your life as a child of God. Don't take that time for granted. Don't take that time for granted, and don't assume that it's not something you should do or it's not that important. It is critical to your life as a follower of Jesus. So let's take our path. One who delights in the law of God and enjoys singing those truths in his heart throughout the day. That's your path. That's the path we should go. All right, we'll go ahead and jump into a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and finish off for the rest of the day. Thank you, Father, very much for the things that you have told us through this first chapter or introduction or guidebook, making sure that we're consistently checking our path to make sure that we are the truth of God's words are firmly embedded into our heart. Help us to do that, please. Thank you so much for all of the ways in which you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.